You're listening to the Industry Alchemist podcast. The definition of alchemy is a seemingly magical process of transformation or creation. This podcast exists to hear the stories of entrepreneurs, business owners, and leaders doing just that in their industry. We hear about the journey of the brave souls carving a new path, moving their industry and our lives forward in a seemingly magical way. I'm your host, Matt Brower, co-founder and managing broker of Column Commercial Partners, helping companies save money on their real estate.
Hello, friends. Matt Brower here, and welcome back to another episode of the Industry Alchemist podcast. My guest today is a trailblazing entrepreneur that naturally inspires others to play a big game in life simply by leading by example. In 2014, Michael Graziano set out to become the youngest North American to visit all 193 UN nations. Partnered with the Discovery Channel, his travels were captured in a film called Global Degree, which has over 75 million views today. He accomplished this goal in just over 6 years. After returning home in 2020, he founded his company, Mindful Media PR Agency, which works with mindful individuals and brands focused on leading their industries and communities toward a better future. Many know Michael by his Burning Man playa name, Sunshine, which is how our story began a few months ago. Donning a bright colored kimono, Sunshine introduced himself to me shortly after I arrived, and our connection was immediate. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Love it, brother. Thanks for having me. Good to see you again.
Yeah, you too. You too. I know we have had so many, you know, mutual connections since we met at Burning Man. It's just funny how the universe works sometimes. Can't wait to see you again in person. Got to get you down here to Panama.
Absolutely. I'd love to come.
There's so much to talk about. Like, we had so many incredible experiences at Burning Man. You are, as I just said, you seem to just play a big game in everything that you do. How did you decide at such a young age to go, I'm going to go travel the entire world? And didn't this break a world record or something like that too?
Yeah. So in the end, it was a 6-year trip from 2014 to 2020. I ended up becoming the youngest Canadian and the youngest American male. And there was a few faster at age 21. I finished by 30. Took me 6 years. I'm a dual citizen. I've always kind of been a bit rebellious and against the tide. Started my first business at 16, failed miserably. Started a second business, failed miserably. Started a third business, failed miserably. Ended up doing some party promotion in Copenhagen when I did an exchange. And then I started to actually, you know, do decent for myself, and ended up dropping out of school to start up a t-shirt business. We made electroluminescent t-shirts. Don't know if you remember those things back in the day.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
T-shirts. And went on a show called Dragon's Den, which is the Canadian Shark Tank. Raised $150,000 from Jim Tree Living and Robert Hershevik. And started up my first business. And I was about 20, well, my first successful business, I should say. Started at age 20. And then had different lives, different careers. Ended up becoming a slumlord, owned about 30 manufactured mobile homes and rented those out. And then,
in my language, real estate.
Yeah. It was interesting business. Yeah, I'd buy them for next to nothing because the park owner wanted the pad fees. So they basically gave them to me and I'd fix them up and rent them out.
Wow.
And I learned a lot from that. And then I went to Thailand on my own, realized the world's a good place. People are good everywhere. You have nothing to fear. Thailand is a melting pot of beautiful people from around the world. Learned, you know, from people from Pakistan telling me how beautiful their country is, people from the Congo promoting their country.
Wow.
And I've said, well, wait a second, what if the world's actually a good place and you have nothing to fear? What if the media is a complete whack of shit and they have their own agenda? And what if countries shouldn't be judged by their governments? And actually, if you zoom in, it's nothing but good people and love in every country on planet Earth. So on the last day of my trip, I made a Facebook post back in 2014, Instagram around, And I said, I'm going to go to every country in the world by age 30, or I'm going to die trying. Either I do it or I cease to exist. If I get kidnapped, robbed, murdered, decapitated, so be it.
If all the fear is true.
Yeah. If all the fear is true, then whatever, I die and that's the end of my story.
Wow.
But I have an inkling that the world's a good place. I'm going to be met with love, kindness, respect, generosity in every country. And I'm going to film the whole thing to prove it. So I started up that trip in 2014, made my proclamation, and the journey began.
Unbelievable, man. I was actually, you already answered my next question, which was if you could answer it, what's the biggest lesson that came out of this trip? Maybe there's more to that, but really quick, how did you just decide I'm going to bring a camera and record my own footage, or is this a partnership that you created before?
Well, first of all, I'll talk about my lesson. My biggest lesson was truly, there's a couple. On country 193 was Angola. Mm-hmm. And I remember stepping foot into it, and I was actually a sad day. I thought it was going to be the best day of my life. It ended up becoming a pretty shitty day, one of the worst days of my life. And the reason is because there was 6 years of expectation and buildup. I thought of who I was going to be when I stepped foot into that country. And then I stepped foot into it, and there's the reality that I am who I am, and nothing's changed, and I've just run out of countries. Yeah. They say comparison is the thief of joy, not just comparison to others, but comparison of yourself in the future versus current. And you know the saying, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey.
The journey, yeah.
That rang true incredibly well that day. Another major lesson is the world is a reflection of you. I came with a lot of love and kindness and a big smile on my face and a lot of respect and a lot of awareness. I traveled with people who were in a state of fear. They're in a state of paranoia. They're in a state of questioning everyone and everything, and bad things happen to them. And I think it's just law of attraction both ways. I was attracting love, kindness. They were attracting fear, right?
Yeah.
So I just think the world's a reflection of you. If you don't like your world, take a good hard look in the mirror and start to look at what you're looking for with using your prefrontal cortex and what you choose to see. Right. And seeing where you sit on the love fear pendulum. Right.
This is the science portion of self-awareness, mm-hmm. you know, growth mindset and spirituality, what do you want to call it? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's all the same. It's all science. It's energetic.
Yeah.
Putting that out.
Yeah. And in terms of funding, the whole thing, I had nothing going for me. There was a story that inspired me in college that I learned about. It was a guy named Adam Kluger. Do you remember Lady Gaga, Bad Romance, that music video?
Yeah.
It was the first ever music video to get 1 billion views. And the whole world marveled at, oh, wow, look at this. Humanity watches something a billion times. And then everyone moved on. Adam Kluger was 21 years old in Florida, and he put on his best suit, flew to California, just marched into Interscope Records and demanded a meeting, saying he represented Coca-Cola and that he wanted Coca-Cola in the next Lady Gaga video and name your price. And, you know, they very hesitantly gave him a price and an offer. And then he flew to New York headquarters at Coca-Cola for the first time, saying he represents Lady Gaga and it's going to be, I believe the numbers were, Gaga wanted 2 million for the product placement and Coke was willing to pay 3. So Adam had 2 contracts, 2 deals, transferred some money around, and the deal got done. He walked away with $1 million cash, bought a Mercedes SLS and convertible, and drove back to Florida laughing.
Unbelievable.
He now owns Kluger Group, which is the number one product placement agency in the world. And he's Forbes 30 under 30. And I just love what he did there. He created something from nothing, a bit of a social bluff, but everyone got value and therefore it was a good deal.
Yeah.
So I did this something similar. I wanted to go to every country, had no money, no funding, no videographer experience, no equipment, nothing. So what I did is I got some press and media on the idea, right? Just cold emailed a bunch of media outlets. I got Huffington Post and a bunch of others to pick it up, proclaiming me to be the youngest person to go to every country. And then I would send that to all these big sponsors like GoPro, Discovery, TripAdvisor, and I got them all to commit to something, promising them the world, literally.
Like equipment and...
Yeah. Well, I went to GoPro saying, hey, we'll film a GoPro commercial from every country. Just give us a whack load of GoPros and equipment. And then we ended up selling some of them, to be honest, because we need the cash. Yeah. And then I went to TripAdvisor. I was like, did you know that 60% of your properties don't have professional photos? What if we went around taking photos of everything and improved your conversion, right?
Yeah.
And went to Flight Center saying, hey, you have this travel tipsters campaign, but no one's uploading tips. You only have 12 tips. What if we went around and uploaded 150 of them in all the most spectacular places on earth, right? So I helped them fulfill their campaign, and I guess I had some understanding of branding, but you know, the saying is by Zig Ziglar, you can have anything you want in this world. Just help others get what they want first.
Yeah.
It's simple. It's not rocket science, right?
Yeah, this is what you did. You basically sparked up an individual entrepreneurial effort, like with every example that you're giving. It's like its own little business that you did, and it was successful. Right.
Yeah. These businesses want to get ahead. And how much would it cost to hire a professional film crew to travel the entire world, pay for their insurance, their accommodations, their food? Like, it's out of budget. So I created a checklist of content that they all wanted, and then they gave me funding to go and do it. And then I went and hired a film crew saying, hey, if you create this trip around the world and film it, I'll give you a free trip, right? Cool. So you can do what you love. And so everyone won. And that led to our project called Global Degree, which then led to millions of viewers, which then led to Discovery Channel, which then led to more sponsors and more press, more sponsors, more funding, more crew, more views, more press, more sponsors, more. Anyway, I rode that wheel for 6 years.
Yeah.
And I got a free trip there for 193 nations.
Yeah, that's wild, man. And I have to imagine this, like, learning and knowledge transferred completely to your current company.
Well, that's it. So what happened was I got home February 1st, 2020. I gave a TED Talk in Oxford, England. And then literally I had an end of the world party in London, England, and then in Vancouver here. And this was February 1st. It was a few weeks later, the whole world shut down. And after the end of the world party.
Right.
And tourism and travel was dead. And so I was in debt after my trip because Africa was much more expensive than I anticipated. And they also weren't willing to do sponsorships down there because they just money the almighty dollar, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
For everything. So I was in debt. I had nothing going for me and my industry was dead, like literally. So I went literally back to square one. But I still had that lesson. You can have anything you want in this world. Just help others get what they want first.
Mm.
And what is it that people truly, truly want that I have that I can offer? And I realized it was my mastery of press and media and PR, which then led to all of these funding and film hire, crew hiring and projects, right? Starting.
Yeah.
It started with that press and media. So I said, maybe I can just help other people master press and media, have this stamp of approval, this larger than life digital persona.
Right.
And help them go get the deals, whether that's funding for their startup or big names on their podcast or people, clients for their business, whatever it is they want. So I started up Mindful Media in 2021. Clubhouse was a big thing back then during COVID. Remember Clubhouse?
Yes, that's right.
I forgot. Audio app.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was, it's funny because I was, same rules. I went to the number one club on Clubhouse called the OG Club, had 200,000 members saying, hey, I'm going to get Jesse Itzler and Sarah Blakely on the show.
Wow.
And are you willing to host them? They said, of course. Then I went to Jesse for the first time. saying, hey, Jesse, want to come on OG Club and we'll do your welcome party in front of 200,000 people. And Jesse's like, of course. So there was Jesse Itzler, the founder of OG Club, and me hosting an event. Right? And I did that over and over again for all the celebrities. And I was involved in the Oprah Winfrey show as well. And like the whole thing. And then, and I was just right, just middlemanning it. And next thing you know, I had about 30,000 people following me on Clubhouse. And every time I spoke, I would get new leads in my media business. Right.
Yeah.
I got in a debate one day with Grant Cardone over the value of press. And it was really like head to head. And in the end, he said, hey, I need some help with this because clearly you know your stuff. And then I got, I think, like 150 leads that day. So I learned that that was a great lead generation and that was the hot app of the time. Mm-hmm. And I used that to build a multi-million dollar business in about 12 months flat.
And 12 months?
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
Because you had a large network and a lot of support, obviously, from all of that build up before that, right?
You mean the travel show?
No, well, the travel show, but also, were you doing the Clubhouse thing as part of Mindful Agency?
Yeah. It was I was using it as lead generation.
Yeah, okay.
But you know, you can't just be soliciting all the time. Like the goal is to just add value in every way, help people get ahead, and they reward you for it. I keep going back to that idea because it's the most powerful idea and concept that I know of when it comes to business and career, right?
Yeah. You know, that's a big, so me coming up in commercial real estate brokerage, as a young broker, the older guys teach you, go knock on doors, go dig up business. And it's like what your brain does as a young salesperson is go solicit. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't hit right. And it's just therefore a grind and difficult. And it's like, what the fuck am I doing? Mm-hmm. Am I truly adding value or am I just trying to get paid? Mm-hmm. And I was in this mindset the first couple of years of my career, actually, until I really got connected to the true value that I create for my clients. And that once I realized that, I shifted my whole process of what you're talking about, which is I'm out to add value for the people that I care about. And, you know, the companies that I believe in, the people that I care about and I enjoy being around. And it just shifts. It makes everything flow so much smoother. Mm-hmm. There's a big, big shift.
Yeah. So. No, absolutely. And we had over 500 clients. Business was going really well. I found a friend of mine who I met on Clubhouse who had a really cool agency from Vegas. And we acquired the company, merged together. Yep. And now we have Mindful Agency. And we have access to about 700 publications, and we have all this television, we have podcast tours, we have all these things, best-selling books. But the way I see it now is the original idea was mindful media with the idea of representing mindful people.
Yeah.
And people who are trying to change the world in their own way, trying to bend humanity into the right direction, because I think we're at crossroads right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
so now I've kind of turned the media machine against itself because we're now using powerful stories to help shift culture and running these stories through mainstream media. And we've created a pretty powerful network to do that. So now I get to go and have fun and do Jedi training in Ogden, Utah, and learn how to see with through my third eye without vision, just blindfolded. You can navigate your way through obstacle courses. You can.
I've seen your Instagram stories with those videos. I was super intrigued to hear about that.
I mean, that was incredible. That was a 4-day training. It was with only Tony Robbins platinum members. Tony Robbins' niece was there training. Okay. And it was very powerful. It comes from the Royal Indonesian family, about 20 years of training that they consolidate to 4 days. Yeah. And by day one, you're just trying to learn how to shift energy throughout your body and how to charge up your root chakra and let that get to your third eye through Kundalini breathing, really.
Yeah.
And by day four, you're using your hands as these scanning devices to search for electromagnetic fields. And first you start by saying, okay, there's a beanbag, no beanbag. It's kind of like an on-off binary type feel. And eventually, the more you practice, you'll say, okay, this is a yellow beanbag, this is a red beanbag.
Are you serious?
Yeah. This is a beanbag, this is a book, this is a wrench, right? And you and the one of the masses, which is the one of our the leaders there, they read a ID card, someone's driver's license, and even saw the face, which is about the size of a quarter, and they went and returned that to the owner. Completely blindfolded.
Blindfolded, they found, they saw the image and then found the person.
And they read the name.
Wow.
Yeah. So just to show the degree of some of these guys who have dedicated their life to this.
Yeah.
Very powerful. And so I'm now going back to level two training in April, which is really exciting. And then, you know.
This is in Ogden, Utah, you said?
Ogden, Utah.
Okay. Yeah, I've actually been to Ogden, oddly enough.
Kind of perfect.
Yeah, well, town in the middle of nowhere, but
yeah. Yeah, there's a Jedi center there, and they're also one of the Mas's sons, Mas Dave. His son is able to do telekinesis. Mm. So there's video footage of it. Apparently, he was doing it, but then he enlisted to the U.S. military. So they have him down in Philippines doing some sort of training, training down there. So I know that the Pentagon released some papers that they were investigating remote viewing as a form of spy warfare. And so now I wouldn't be surprised if they're just studying him and learning how to do this as well.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was last night actually was in a conversation around that Russia. I can't remember how it came out, but Russia has been doing this for years, and they, like their whatever they call their CIA, I can't remember, but they
KGB,
KGB, that's right. They they train people on this. They basically astral project, remote view, and that's how they spy a lot of times.
Yeah, and so what it comes down to is I personally have the hots for anything that expands consciousness.
Yeah. So
example, even going to every country, you know, that's kind of considered impossible. And more people have been to space than have been to every country. I think it's under 350 in history, recorded history. Wow.
So is this an aspiration of yours still?
What's that?
This is an aspiration of yours. You want to continue on?
No, I mean, I've done that. I did every country. I'm going to go back to some spots to visit. But what I'm saying is, like, I enjoyed doing that because it pushes consciousness of what's possible.
Yeah.
Now even this third eye blindfolded training, that pushes consciousness, and that's something I want to get out there. I've heard of these breatharian communities that some of them haven't eaten food for 10 years. They get their energy from the sun, from grounding, from breath work, from meditation. I've heard about some Tibetan monks that part of their initiation is being enclosed in a cave where they close all the door and all oxygen in the cave. And apparently they get their oxygen from minerals and they slow down their heartbeat to this inhumane levels. And then there you have the stock hunts in Botswana, where you will stalk a gazelle in the open Sahara, up to 50 kilometers, and human sweat glands were created to cool the human body for these stock hunts. Meanwhile, the gazelle's wearing a thick fur coat and it's going to die from exhaustion. So to imagine that type of experience as a human, to go back to an ancestral experience, stock hunt, and not only catching this thing finally, dead from suffocation, but or from exhaustion, but dragging it back to your tribe.
Yeah.
50 some kilometers away with this, you know, 200, 300 pound thing on your back. And so
this is what Finn is doing for his birthday, right?
Yeah. I'm going to Botswana with him in May. And
then okay.
That's a different trip. And then we're going to line up our stock hunt.
Okay.
Cool. So yeah, that's it. I love doing these things that push what's possible and obviously helping tell that story for the creators and the founders and the people who are providing the experience.
Wow. Yeah. It's like there's a level of consciousness that is achievable where all of our existence is just literally created by our beliefs. And we in this plane believe that we need sustenance, food to sustain life. And it's true because that's what we believe collectively. And
But you know the 4 minute mile story.
Right? Yes, exactly.
It's a blip in the matrix.
Yeah, it's a blip in the matrix. Exactly.
4 minute mile was not possible until one person did it. Then a group of people did it. And now a high school student can do it.
Yeah.
Right. And so the same
thing. That was possible. Everything is possible.
Everything is possible. It's just these layers of awareness. Yeah. Right. And I see the next big layer as sight, seeing without sight. I think it's very important. I see moving things with energy, like a telekinesis. I think telepathy is already starting to unfold.
Yeah.
They did this famous experiment where a patient was in charge of pitting numbers on a phone that at random that came to them. And then they were tasked to just press numbers again, but they had 100 people from around the world observing them through a camera, trying to tell them which number to push next. So say number 8, and then 100 people all trying to tell him, please press eight, focusing, visualizing him pressing 8. And the accuracy was something like 80% increase in accuracy based on this telepathy setup, right?
Yeah.
So there's signs already of that, right? So I just think we're using 10-12% of our brain. I mean, maybe it's just these elevated beliefs, which then will expand the use of the brain.
It's like how do you impact the collective? Like one thing I'm really drawn to trying to impact is, you spoke about it a little bit ago, like raising collective consciousness. How do you get other people excited about these concepts? It's by going and doing them yourself and sharing with your story, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to go do it first, right?
Yeah.
Make sure it's real, not BS.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, that's how you fully embody it too. Like there's understanding something and then there's embodying something. And that's always the goal. It's like moving from the head to the heart. When you're embodying something, you're in your heart space about it.
Yeah, and I have had two more documentary ideas. I guess I just got to muster up the do or die type mentality again. One of them, literally do or die. I'll explain that. But one of them after this burn was the idea of doing every burn in the world in 1 year.
Oh, wow.
So doing Africa burn, Israel burn, Nevada burn, but also all of these European mini burns.
Yeah.
I think it's called Nowhere Festival. And imagine like a $20,000 budget for the entire year and just doing the every burn and filming
them
and showing the beauty.
Get that done with $20,000?
Probably. Yeah, probably.
God, I felt like I spent 10 just last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, but you're bougie.
Yeah, right. You're bougie. No, I'm just not as smart as you.
No, well, I mean, sponsorships encourage, right? See my
stuff
we can get if we're filming again, right? But yeah, I mean, I like that idea just because it's practical and obtainable for most people, right? And just showing off this beautiful barter share economy and the burn economy, right? Burn community. And so so that was one. And the other one I was thinking was longevity, a documentary on immortality, longevity, extreme longevity. I'm 35 in 2 months, and my idea was to get my epigenetic age back to 18 using all 5 epigenetic clocks. Each one is a little bit different. So kind of this universal epigenetic age.
Yeah.
And doing everything from extending my telomeres to resetting my T cells and my immune system to extreme supplementation and health dieting and exercise, and had letting the best doctors in the world kind of design a program for me.
Yeah.
And then eventually the idea was to get to time neutrality. So for every day lived, I get a day back. So technically I'm not aging. Epigenetic. So
would that be getting a, what would your epigenetic age need to reach to do that? Or is it more about finding that balance?
Step one is age reversal. So how do we get it back as far as we can? I know Brian Johnson is trying to get to 18. He's 42. Yeah. Okay. So I think teenage levels sounds like a good goal. It might end up landing on 22 or 25 or something. So it's kind of like, okay, let's decrease our epigenetic age as much as possible. And at some point you're going to find some sort of threshold where it's not decreasing anymore. Like you've done everything you can do. You've done everything that science has presented and peer reviewed studies have verified, and sure, you can start to experiment at that point, but then just kind of once you flatline, then you want to, you want to maintain the flatline, right? So that's the time neutrality idea.
Got
it. Okay. Do every day to get that day back.
Yeah.
And let whatever my epigenetic age is, how do I hold it for an entire year, for 2 years? As time goes on, it should be harder and harder to maintain that age, right? But I believe in the advancement of technology and AI and science, and this idea of a it's the, what's it called? The longevity escape velocity by Aubrey Gray. Mm-hmm. It's this idea that if I can just live to 100 in the next 70 years, they're going to find a way for me to live to 250.
Yeah.
For 150 years, they're going to find a way for me to live to 500. And so you have this idea of escaping death through tech over time, right?
Well, sir, I feel like certainly it'll be part of that will be uploading your consciousness into the web.
Yeah, mine.
Maybe a version of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you must be an Andrew Huberman fanatic.
Yeah, Huberman, David Sinclair.
Yeah.
From Harvard, he's leading the charge. He said that they don't need consult age. They just need 10 years of FDA approvals.
Yeah, these guys are so intelligent. Wow.
Yeah. And there's no shortage of demand for longevity with the baby boomers.
Yeah.
And with these millennial biohackers. And so it's exciting times. There's trillions of dollars being spent. There's AI unlocking things in record time.
Yep.
And good old fashioned capitalism and everyone. Right. A quest to get rich, which will drive us into the future.
Yeah. So getting back to real quick, you're like, this is incredible. Like you're literally giving examples of how I feel like how you work with your clients and create buzz and move them, their story forward. Like, how are you working this together? Is this a, you know, are you targeting specific types of people, specific types of companies?
Yeah, I mean, now we started off with kind of thought leaders, coaches, best-selling authors, podcast hosts, personal brands. Nowadays, though, we're playing with publicly traded companies on the New York Stock Exchange, and just got off the phone today with a company with 800,000 employees, and they need content too, and they have stories to tell that are meaningful and impactful. It's kind of anyone who you know needs press, but also people that we are aligned with, and we believe in their mission, and we believe where they're headed, and what they're doing in the world. And we kind of help with everything, kind of so it's turnkey. I noticed that mindful people are really humble, and they don't like to talk about themselves.
Yeah,
which is a shame, because it's almost, they need to talk about themselves. It's important for the world to know what they're doing. And I also know deep down, we all want legacy. We all want to give back, and we all want to share our story.
Yeah.
So we tap into these people and help them find the confidence to show up to these interviews and tell their stories, write their books. And so that's important, right? And the second thing is this PR I've learned is kind of a smoke and mirrors industry. You have a lot of false promises. You have a lot of miscommunication. The publicity industry is shifting right now. And so we've changed the model. We're performance-based entirely, 100% performance-based.
You're kidding. Wow.
We only get paid after, you know, once they get published.
Yeah.
And once they get in the media or on support, we grow their account on social, or we get them a best-selling book or whatever it is.
Is that pretty distinct for your industry?
Yeah, very. It's a good model because, number one, it gives confidence to the client. Number two, it forces us to perform, forces the team to perform because everyone's performance-based. And number three, it forces our partners and vendors to perform. And kind of non-performers they fade away fast. And yep. I like that. I like that idea. So that's a cool new concept that we have. And I see other companies starting to take it on. So, but it's unique. And I'm not from the PR marketing world. I'm just a traveling cowboy who wants.
Yeah, you just create cool stories. It's like what I said in the beginning, you just leading by example, inspiring people to. That's very cool.
Yeah.
One question I forgot I was going to ask you when you were talking about all these like superpowers, basically, is are there any of these things that have started showing up for you as if occurring for you as becoming natural, like natural abilities, anything that you're super drawn to because they're easier than other things?
Well, the story behind VibraVision, the seeing through your third eye, your third eye has retina receptors, the same ones your eyeballs do.
Really?
So, yeah, there's evidence that it's like more an eye than part of your brain. And
holy shit.
It's just an eye in the dark.
Yeah.
And the second thing is they taught us that babies during the first 18 months can't see very well. Like it's just blobs because their retinas haven't developed.
Yeah. So,
but how does a child, a baby, know the difference between its mother and everyone else? And the answer is because babies start to detect magnetic fields, and they know their mother's magnetic field over others for the first year and a half of their life. And so it's not, and also mammals commonly can sense hurricanes, earthquakes, you know, dogs are known for this, the ability to do this. And so what they're really doing is they're detecting magnetic fields and magnetic shifts. And so it's not really learning anything new. It's just remembering what we have as a mammal and really the first ever skill developed as an infant, which is the ability to detect magnetic fields and sense them and differentiate the between them. So we're just re-remembering that. And that's why children are commonly better at this than us. A friend of mine, Sam Taggart, was here with four of his kids. And we put them on blindfolds and threw the beanbags in front of them. All four of them were 100% accurate.
You're kidding. Wow.
They knew where it was and they were completely blindfolded. And it's because, number one, you know, they're new and fresh and their body is ultra sensitive and pure. Number two, there's no limiting beliefs. There's no none of this bullshit that we start to adopt. And this imposter syndrome that we adopt as adults and conditioning. So you'll find that these kids, we call them mini Jedis because they truly
they are.
It's amazing what they can do. And anyone listening to this, try it, you know, put beanbags in a blindfold and allow your child to scan and find out where it is, allow them to tap into this magnetic sensor, which is their hands. to you know, not think about where it is, but feel where it is. And you'll be quite amazed at the results you're going to get.
Yeah, that's, I don't have kids, but I have a lot of nieces and nephews. I'm going to try this. Yeah, I love what you said. It's a re-remembering because this is you know, our soul, individual and collective souls, as we put boxes around our lives unknowingly as we grow up and create this rules that we call reality. It is, you know, digging and looking inward and rediscovering what and who we actually are. Our souls do start to remember, so that we can re-remember these, what we would call superpowers, and they're just actually natural abilities that we all have. We just forgot.
Yeah, and weirdly, part of the training is, and the reason it's in Salt Lake is because Salt Lake has the number one salt lake in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Number one mineral salts. So every day we were drinking these mineral salts, and Mass Mike showed us a example where he dipped he had a light bulb and a light bulb rod. He would dip it into the water and nothing would happen. Then he would add the mineral salts into the water and dip it in again, and light, it would conduct light. And it shows how we are mainly water, but we're also electrical charge. And without the proper minerals, the electricity can't shift through us fast enough. And you have a major problem with soil degradation today. Yep. Where even though we're eating healthy fruits and vegetables, the mineral content of those fruits and vegetables is much lower, much more degraded. So, you know, the famous saying from the 70s, an apple a day will keep the doctor away. If that saying is still relevant today, it would be 17 apples a day will keep the doctor away.
Right. Somebody did that study.
Yeah. So it's, wow. This mineral deflation that's happening in our foods. And right. So now part of the training, and now what I do every day now religiously, is I'll take these mineral salts every morning in my coffee or my water to allow nutrients to absorb properly, to allow electricity to flow properly, to help with my aura and my magnetic field and my training, which is.
Is it a specific type of salt, or is it, it's a salt with a lot of different minerals in it?
Yeah, it's a mineral salt. I forget the name of it, but it comes from Salt Lake. If you do a Google search, okay. Water mineral salt, Salt Lake, you'll find it.
Okay.
It's on Amazon. Cool. And, you know, it's called Trace Minerals.
Oh, I've heard of this. Yeah.
So, yeah, you can grab it anywhere. But it's funny. It came from Salt Lake. And also, part of the level two training is we actually go and do a meditation in the salt lake. So we're going to go and lay in it and let it absorb through our pores, part of it as well. So that's exciting.
Oh, cool. What a beautiful area too.
Mm-hmm.
Cool scenery. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, God, I feel like I can't believe how much time has passed already. I feel like I could just keep talking and hearing stories. What I want to shift to, like, rapid fire personal questions, so that the listeners kind of get to know you more on a personal level. What do you consider to be your superpower?
My superpower is seeing people's truest potential. Sometimes they do.
Yeah. And, give us an example of that. Like, is it in work? Is it in their spirituality? Or is it different for everyone?
I would say it's naturally my work. I hear their story and I see where they're going. And sometimes before they do, where they're going to end up.
And that's
what we help them do. We help them kind of get to where they, not where they are, but where they deserve to be. Right.
Yeah. Wow. Cool. Yeah. So that really plays into the value you're providing for people with your work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the self-fulfilling prophecy, right? People shifting their beliefs, which shift their actions to others, which shift their perceptions of others, which shift their actions toward them from others, which then reinforce their own beliefs.
Yeah.
Kind of helping people play into that feedback loop. But that's certainly a gift. It's a gift and a curse. It's a gift because it can help people immensely. It's a curse because it's incredibly frustrating to see them not do what they should be doing.
Right.
And also for me to get frustrated on where I think they should be versus where they want to be or they think they should be. So there's a flip side of every gift. I think your greatest gift is your greatest curse, depending on.
Yeah. And I completely love what you said and agree that it's very important, especially these days, for these people that are, you know, at a higher level of awareness or consciousness and see the world through that lens, or no lens, maybe is a better way to put it, to get the voice out there and really share and expand that reach. Mm-hmm. And so this is what you're doing. And I love that it sounds like you feel as if you are super aligned with what your purpose is.
Yeah. And my favorite nowadays is when people say, oh, I'm struggling to make ends meet. I'm, you know, one check away from losing my home. I got nothing going for me. So I'm going to go be a life coach, you know? Wait, what? Yeah. What grounds can you give advice on life, yeah, business and finance, you know? And so there's a lot of unearned wisdom floating around and unsolicited advice. There's pyramid schemes around advice itself being the product. I'm going to coach you to go coach coaches to coach coaches to coach coaches.
All right.
And I also have a good bullshit monitor. I can smell through the BS, and I know a real successful person with great potential and great skill versus just someone who's trying to, you know, sell the next best snake oil.
And so, the system, whether or not they know it, I think a lot of them, they don't know they're actually projecting. As opposed to, you know, and advice is the key word. You know, giving advice is a waste of time for everyone to say or to hear. Asking questions so that people can discover things for themselves is actually where the magic is.
Well, there's a very famous billionaire here in Vancouver named Frank Giustra, mm-hmm, who founded Lionsgate Films and Gold Corp and a bunch of big companies. And my friend was interviewing him in a fireside chat, and he said, what's one piece of advice you give to a 20-something starting off their career? Yeah. And Frank looked directly in the camera and he said, my only piece of advice, don't take advice from the old guys.
Really?
Yeah, he said, go find your own path and navigate and trust your heart.
Cool, I like that.
That was profound.
That's incredible. Leads me to my next and last question. Who are some people off the top of your head that have been, and these could be authors or people in your life that have been really super impactful for you on your path?
Yeah, I think a couple grade school teachers that believed in me early on. Mm-hmm. Easily gone into a special needs class when I was so in my own head and gone down a different path.
Yeah.
People who believed in me as a leader, my business school teacher who thought I was going to go and do great things. And
cool.
It's really people who have expectations of greatness.
Yeah.
That had a huge impact. My grandmother, who I saw yesterday, 92 years old, more glamorous than ever before.
Wow.
You know, she's sharp. She's charming. She's a social butterfly. She can work the room. She taught me that you don't need degrees. You need to understand people if you want to get it. And taught me the value of faith and positive attitude and high frequency. You know, like guys like Finney and Kelly, who I stumbled upon, a mutual friend of ours at Burning Man, who then introduced me to Shibumi and taught me Kundalini Master, who taught me teleportation breath and the DMT release completely sober, which is every mindful person's journey to enlightenment is to enter the conscious field sober through breath.
Yeah.
I've already started to tap into that and practice that, and leading me to people like you and an amazing conscious community around the world who are light workers fighting for peace, piecing for peace.
Peace for peace.
And they're piecing harder than anyone I've seen peace before.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I was talking to a guy. So I live in this town called Playa Vanao, Panama. It's this little beach town that is like literally the coolest vibe, the closest thing to Burning Man energy that I've ever experienced anywhere in the world. Wow. And I was talking to one of the guys here a couple weeks ago. We were just talking about other people in the community, and he made a point. He goes, you know what I love? I love how we talk love about people here. We don't talk shit. We talk love about them. It's like, whoa, that's a really cool perspective to a thing that you noticed. It's so true.
But the best is when you talk shit from a place of love.
Yeah.
Having a good sense of humor, nothing beats that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, it's all love. And my name, Sunshine, I got that because it's radiance of the soul coming to life and going to the burn, which is now my second home, my first home, this being my second home.
Yeah.
And when I changed my name on Instagram to Sunshine, a friend of mine said, isn't that your Playa name? And I said, yeah, because I'm either only hanging out with burners in the real world or the entire world has become my Playa. It's one of the two.
I did the same thing. I changed mine to Kratos, Panama.
Yeah, I love it. There's something so refreshing about the soul coming to life and unapologetically being yourself and being real and authenticity,
Yeah, when you can achieve, authenticity is something that we can achieve if we find ourselves on that path. If you can achieve authenticity, magnetism is what shows up. What I have experienced, this is what I believe, this is what I try to, show people what's possible in that realm. And it's, you're hitting it hard. Well, cool, brother. I so much appreciate you coming on and having this conversation with me. It's great to connect again.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, brother. And I hope that we shared some good knowledge out there, and we'll see everyone on the Playa.
Absolutely. Cheers.